Father, we bless you. You have eternal capacity to us. And so, call upon that your capacity. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in our hearts, in our lives. Thank you for this service. Thank you for every gathered here and every life represented here. Those that are identified by this house, we here. We thank you on their behalf. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name. Can you put your hands together for your Father? You can have your seat. Praise the Lord. I want to begin by appreciating every one of you in the house. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Some people are not here. They are in their house. Not just in this assembly. All over. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God will honor you and reward your faith and your obedience. And I want to thank the pastorate. Thank Pastor Jennifer. Thank you so much. God bless you. I want to let you know that we love you, all of us here, and we respect you so much. The entire pastorate, Pastor Defiso, Pastor Noah, Pastor Ayodele, Mommy Olagbeki, Pastor Toyebi, then our beloved pastor in absentia, Pastor Daudu. Amen. I want to thank our elders too. Elder Fabio, I have his call to schedule with you. He did not come for our men's program. All the same, you are welcome to the house. Elder Kadiri, you are welcome, and all the deacon and the deaconesses. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I want to appreciate my humble self and my beautiful wife too. I've not done that from the pulpit before, but you see, behind the man there is a woman. So she has helped me so much. So many things I'm able to do in life. When she came into my life, everything changed. And those of you that are not yet married, I want you to be looking to marriage in God, in God's own way and God's own pattern. And it will make a lot of difference in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk overcoming by God. What did I say? Overcoming by God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Paul, you have to be fast too. Let me read it from my Bible. Media, they are not yet ready. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The amazing thing about Genesis is you can't exhaust that book. It lays the foundation for every other thing. Praise the Lord. Please, I take it again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. See, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then what was the first thing that God did? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, does it amaze you here that God did not even address the darkness? Now, I want us to see the pattern for our lives, because we are made in the very image and the likeness of God, so we are to live like Him. God did not address the darkness, rather He spoke what He wanted to see. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 2. He said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. He did not talk about the dark. He did not even address the darkness. What did I say? What did I say? God spoke what He wanted to see. I said, God said, let there be light. This is the pattern all through scripture for God and for so many people that want to walk, so many people that want to walk with Him. So when God wanted to create from this place, I said, God spoke what He wanted to see. So you can bring, I want you to bring it to your own environment, bring it to your life, because everything we say, everything is spoken, if it's not applied to your life, then it has not profited, it's in vain. Praise the Lord. God spoke what He wanted to see. So look at your life and look at the prevailing circumstances of your life. You know, some people can dwell in the shadows of their life. Everybody has shadows. You have the shadow, you have the light. The presence of the shadows tells you that there is light. Without light, there will not be shadow. So when you see the shadow, that means there is a reflection of light somewhere. So you can either decide to focus on the shadows, or you can decide to focus on the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you now go further, then what did God now do? What did God do the next thing He did? God now say, let us create man, let us make man in our image, in after our likeness. God formed the man He wanted to dwell and to live on the earth. After He formed that man, the Bible says God beheld the man and saw that everything was good. That's the end of Genesis. Then you know the story, you know the Bible story. On and on, Satan came along the way and defaced the image. God had an image in heart. So He formed and produced that image. When Satan came and distorted that image in a sin, Satan introduced sin. And that image was distorted and re-imaged into another image. What was the next thing that God did? Amen. God brought forth another image. God brought forth his son.
Yes.
Satan, the image of man changed, and every confusion everywhere. What's the pattern? How do we look like? What's going to be? The next thing God did was to bring forth his son. He brought forth his son and brought forth the image of his son. And he said, this is the image I want mankind to conform to. He did not just tell us, okay, be like, he did not just tell us something from the abstract. I want you to be like something like this. I want you to know, you know, or give us instruction, commandment, and laws. The Bible says those times were the times of that it was, how did the Bible put it, that was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So God brought forth another image and brought forth the image of his son. Praise the Lord. Then after God created in Genesis 1, I'm trying to show us patterns in the Bible. After God created all the things he wanted to create, then men now started multiplying. They now formed into nations. After they formed into nations, all of the nations were ungodly. Those are the nations that you see they listed, that the sins of this nation. And there was no nation that is of God. What was the next thing that God did? God decided to pick Abraham. He picked a man, and he had where he was going. God picked a man, picked Abraham, and from that man he formed the nation. He formed the nation and formed the nation of Israel. Praise the Lord. So this is my own nation. This is how I want the nations to look like on earth. This is how I want government. So he gave them laws. He gave them practices. Gave them commandment. Gave them instruction. All of those things to build and lay the foundation of nationhood. This is how I want my nation to look like. Praise the Lord. This is how I want he formed the nation of Israel. He prototyped what he wanted to see. He prototyped the image, what the image and the likeness that he has in his heart. Praise the Lord. So coming now to when Jesus Christ came and he did his ministry, did everything he wanted to do. He raised up the 12 disciples, replicated his life inside of them. They started the church age. They patterned the church age and they patterned the community, and God exemplified how he wanted the church as a community to look like. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm trying to lay a foundation for what I'm saying. So God has a pattern. And what is that pattern? What is that pattern? Whatever God has in his heart, whatever dreams and aspiration God wants to do, God puts a picture of it on the table. Praise the Lord. He puts a picture of it on the table and says, this is what I want to do. And this is what I want the journey. This is what I want humanity to aspire to. And that brings us a bit of vision and purpose. Praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 29 verse 18. Are we there? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keep the law, happy he is. Happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, what is the difference between the Old and the New Testament? What is the cardinal difference? One of the very cardinal differences is that in the Old Testament, God gave them laws, God gave them commandments. But in the New Testament, what did God give? Yes, God is a testament of grace. But in place of law, what did God give in place of law? I'll show you from the Bible. I'm not just talking. So go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7:19. What does it say? For the law made nothing perfect. But what was brought in? He said the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw near to God. So that takes us back to our text, Hebrews chapter 6. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 6. For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Then jump to verse 17. Where in God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. What are those two things? The promise and hope. The promise and the oath that God swore. That by two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, I say the promise and the oath, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon what? Upon the hope that is what? Set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God gave them law. I want to note, God gave them laws in the Old Testament. But stepping into the New Testament, what God introduced was hope. He took away the law. He brought another law anyway. But all of those law of commandments, you know what happened in that Exodus 20, where God came and gave them the law, the commandments, and several other things that he did. But coming to the New Testament, he gave the law and he brought forth hope. So I'm going to read some scripture to make you see them build into the message. So I said he took away the law. They say the law made nothing perfect. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the thing, can never, with those sacrifices
which they offered year by year continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. But then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Go back to verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, I say the law carried the shadow but not the substance. That's what the Bible says. And not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually, it cannot make the commerce perfect. Now, this is the man that is doing the ceremony. I want to tell that God is much more interested in the man that is doing the ceremony than all the activities that has been done. Now, having done everything, bring the bull, all the regulations, they did it. How many of you know Israel obeyed those regulations? Israel obeyed all those regulations that were given. They did it. They obeyed all those regulations, but yet God still found fault with that dispensation. God was the one that ordained that dispensation. God the one that institutionalized that the law, the commandment. But the Bible says God found fault with it. I will soon show us the offense of the law. That whole dispensation offended God. And what was the offense? He could not change the man that was coming to God. The man doing the activity, the man was not changing. He said he could not make the commerce perfect. I read that verse 1 again. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the commerce. The man and the woman that is doing, that is engaged in those things, is not affecting and changing their lives. So you can now begin to understand that it could not lead. Okay, let me build into it. So then you now go back to verse 7 that we read, chapter 7, verse 19. So you can now understand it better. I'll read from but let me read from verse 15, 7, Hebrews 7, 15. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. He said, God annulled that other commandment that went before because it was weak and it was not profitable. Praise the Lord. But if you now go to Romans 8, where he said there is therefore no condemnation for they who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the law, after the flesh, but after the spirit. He said, for the law, verse 2, he said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak. So what was it that the law could not do? He said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You can see that established that the law was weak. If you read Romans 7, he said, the commandment is good, it is perfect, it is holy. He said, but I am weak. He said, I'm weak and I'm carnal, so under the flesh. So the law was unprofitable. Now, I go back to where I'm reading Hebrews chapter 7, okay, verse 18. For verily there is a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect. He said, the law made nothing perfect. He said, but the bringing in of a better hope did, then we should draw near unto God. The law made nothing perfect. What God did was, okay, if the law is not working, then God brought another thing. God brought a better hope. He said, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw near unto God. For inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For there is a priest. Okay, then let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has what? Please, let's read together. Every man that has what? Every man that has this hope in him. Can you see what will lead you to a greater test and quest for holiness? Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Praise the Lord. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Okay, now look at Hebrews chapter 8. There are so many scriptures. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now, talking about the priesthood of Christ, I read somewhere that he brought another priest. He said, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promise. What is the covenant standing upon? Upon better promises. Say, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. promises.
That's why when God calls a man, he shows him the distant shores. He shows him the destination. When he took them from Egypt, he even introduced this, before he introduced the law to them in the wilderness. He said, come, I'll take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. So when he took them from the ground, he declares the end from the beginning. So you cannot understand why God declares the end from the beginning. It's to create hope. It's to stir up hope inside of us. He said, I'll take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you read the seven churches that God spoke to in Revelation, the seven churches of Asia, that is Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. If you look at those seven churches he spoke to, all of them, he gave them a promise. He commended them, he rebuked them, but he showed them the promise. He said, to you that overcome, will I give you to eat of the hidden manna? He said, him that overcome will sit with me on my throne. So many times, to create a vision in our heart, because that's what will drive us ultimately. Where there is no vision, the people do what? The people perish. Your life must be anchored on something. Your life must stand and rest upon something. It's not just enough, you are in the world, and maybe you are your business, your work, your all of those things. It's not just enough. You must have a vision deep within. God will create and put it there. And how do you even do? You grow into it. Praise the Lord. You grow into it. Okay. I'll read some more scripture. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11. It says, but Christ, being come as an high priest. It says, Christ came as an high priest of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Then verse 15. Hebrews 9, 15. And for this cause, he is the middleman of a new testament. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Christ was primarily sent as a high priest of things to come. So God's own pattern is that God created vision. God shows you the distant shores. Then he now tells you to start walking and start moving towards it. Praise the Lord. He shows the distant horizon. If you look at all of the churches in Revelation 7, like I told you, each of them he gave them a promise. And that promise was the one to be the engine, you know, to power their work on it. Not just the law, okay, obedience, do this and do. It has failed. It was a whole dispensation that failed. So it's not going to succeed in this age and in this dispensation again. They do this, all of the things we know, you must do this, you must not do that. God creates hope. It creates something in the heart. If you look at the life and Apostle Paul, what was pushing him? What was the driving force? Praise the Lord. He said that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. He said now it's in store for me a crown of righteousness, which God has set for me, not only for him, but all them that love his appearing. Praise the Lord. So if you limit our lives, and if you just see our lives as being regulated by the things you see in this world, I want to announce to you that the whole world is built on deception. The whole world is built upon deception. So when God formed his own, when God created man, then after the fall, the humanity and everything began living by another principle, by another law. So when God created the redeemed man, God created that man to live by a different set of law. They will not be governed by the laws that govern this earth. If you look at the story of Jacob, Jacob was before I go there, let me show you. Go to Revelations. Let me show you how. Look at the world that we live in. I said the whole world sits on deception. The world is sitting on the evil one. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Now go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12 verse 9. He said, the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's the world system, not humanity. He said, and the dragon was cast out. Revelation 12, 9. And the dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. That's the devil, he deceived the whole world. Then Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's from Revelation 20. I'm going to read verse 3. He said, and cast it, that was Satan. Satan was cast into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Then I go to verse 8. He said, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, God and Magog, to gather them together to battle. I go to Revelation 13, verse 14.
verse 13, 13 and 14. And he does great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he does. Then the two more scriptures, Revelation 18:23. Okay, that's the last scripture. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you. That when God was judging the great city, that's the Babylon. So, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorceries were all nations what? Were all the nations deceived. So the foundation of every nation you see in this world is resting upon deception. It's resting upon falsehood. So that's why you cannot outrightly, put your faith in the world. God never ordained the man he created on earth to live like that. Look at Jacob. Number one, look at Jacob. Jacob was in the house of his in-law Laban. He labored for how many years? That man said he changed his wages how many times? Changed his wages over 10 times. But one night when he was sleeping, God showed him a vision. God opened up his eye and said, this is how he separated the flock. God just separated the flock that this is how we are going to. They just say the one that has pet is your own, and the one that has also color is your own. Then God now showed him how to just put something when they want to mate, when the chiefs want to sleep together, just put something on the floor so that the one that produces will be your own. The stronger ones were his own, and the weaker one was the one of Laban. I don't want to go into that story. Some of us are familiar with that story. God gave him wisdom how to overcome and how to travel, how to prevail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second man is Joseph. How many of you know that the issue of famine is not new in the world? In every successive generation and every successive people that God has raised, they must encounter famine. The first famine recorded in the Bible was in the days of Abraham. What first next thing Abraham did? Abraham went down to Egypt. God sent him back out of Egypt. Then in the days of his son, Isaac, there was another famine. Praise the Lord. So if you just, I'm showing you some of this, that if you just live your life just on autopilot, yes, on autopilot, so whatever, maybe you're just hoping that the next government is going to come after the next election. No, you can't live that way. We can't live that way. If we have the Spirit of God living inside of one, the one that orchestrated and put the heavens together, the wisdom that made this world is living inside of us. That's what I want to use to tie down my message, but let me show us. In the days of Abraham, there was famine. Genesis 12:10. Please, let's call it. Can you be fast? Genesis. In the days of Abraham, in the days of Isaac, but every one of them, they overcame and they prevailed by God. Genesis 12:10. Have you seen it? And there was famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. If you look at the last verse, verse 20. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Then, if you go to the next one, Genesis 26, it happened in the days of his son. Abraham was to run away. Abraham ran away and God sent him, but it was even Pharaoh that pursued him out. Then look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26 verse 1. And there was famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went on to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. He followed the same pattern with his father. Then look at verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. He said, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For unto you and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto your father. Then look at verse 12. And Isaac sowed. Where did he sow? And Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Then look at Genesis 41, verse 27. I want to just correct the impression of those of us that if some prayer points, some prayer meetings are so boring. You saw the negative thing that is happening in the nation. I say, when God did not speak to the darkness, he spoke what he wanted to see. He spoke what he wanted. How the whole, everything is bad, and all of those prayer meetings where we should build hope inside people. He said that, look at the song that the choir song, God can do anything. It's not only God that can do anything. He said what? If you have faith, he said, nothing shall be impossible to you. He said, to that man, nothing is impossible. That man too can do anything. Men are taking it literally and have believed it. And they have made a change and difference in their times, in their days, and in their society. Where one man stand and see the valley of dry bones, God was correcting his impression. So what do you see? From that same valley of dry bone arose the mighty army. An army came out of the same dry bone that we are seeing. Emeka was telling me a story that one white man said that he met one man in his office that was walking by and said, you are not going to talk to me again. How did you put it? That he should go and get land. That Nigeria is so blessed, has so many opportunities, that he should go and get land. He should go and get land and go into farming. Abi, you say, I'm not with you, that there are so many opportunities in this nation. Praise the Lord.
There are so many opportunities, but generation after the generation, we still crying the lamentation cry. Keep crying the lamentation cry, generation after generation. From one person after the other. Who told you? There are boundless opportunities here. This is the time that men are saying there's a casting down, but I can assure that some are saying there's a lifting up. And indeed, there is a lifting up. There is a lifting up. Praise the Lord. In the day, I'm sure you can you see how I say overcoming by God. Look at Jacob. In the midst of that oppression and violence, Jacob come out. When he came out, look at his wealth. He came out with so much wealth and so much abundance. You must first believe. If you don't believe, you can't see it. Remember the word that Mama gave us. They that believe. He said, only they that believe and enter into rest. We're talking about the beginning of this year. You must believe. There is no, this is a generation of faith. No retreat, no surrender. He said, they talk about the army that Joel saw. He said, if the door is shut, they enter through the window. If the window is shut, they hit the roof. When Jesus was preaching, there was no way to bring the man in. They removed the roof. There is no limitation. Except the limitation that is set by you. You are only limited by your faith and your obedience. Because there is no limitation in life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the world, we enter into the 90s. That's how people were complaining. Military rule. SAP, social adjustment program. When who introduced it? Babangida. Everybody was saying SAP. That destroyed the economy. It was for $1 was $1 was $4. It was during that time that a new crop of entrepreneurs emerged. It was from that time that all these generation banks. Some of them don't have money. The man that had Zenith Bank, I mean, he just got people that had money. I had these bright ideas. He gathered them together and they brought money and they financed it. He's one of the richest men in Africa today. It has that same landscape that a new crop of entrepreneurs. Some of these consultancy business started. I met a man, Dr. Jonathan. His name is Dr. Jonathan. I met him in his billionaire. What does he do? He's into management consulting. He said, this man, I'm talking to him now for some few hours. They're paying me $500,000. You know, those are the times a crop of people emerged. Praise the Lord. Sick and tired of prayer meetings. All the things are the things that are bad. Things that are bad. Are you having the same? He said, by his spirit, he can reach the heaven. Is it that same spirit that is living inside of you? The spirit that is organic. The spirit of God that is kinetic. The spirit that cannot be bound. God, if God is going to go from here, if God is going to leave from here to where Mama is staying, I just have one way to go there. I have to check down. But God, the Bible says his ways are eternal. God has eternal way to move from point A to point B. He has eternal way. He says his ways. His ways. One thing that God does, the options he has, there are eternal ways he can do it. Praise the Lord. And we call that person our father. And he looks at us, are these my children? How come that their language is the language of this world? We speak the same thing that men are speaking. We have their same terminology. Look at my children now. I bought one cartoon for them. You see their language? Their language is different from ours. They say, how did they call it? My son will know it. Daddy finger. Daddy finger, where are you? You know, mommy, this one is daddy finger. This one is mommy finger. This is brother finger. This is sister finger. This is baby finger. All my son know that this is daddy finger. But that, is that the name? You say it's a thumb, right? So that you see that when you grow up, you change your terminology. And that is how God has changed our understanding and changed our terminology, the things we say. Even in the spirit, when you are a baby Christian, your terminology is different from the maturing Christian. And the maturing Christian, your terminology is different from the matured Christian. So the baby Christian, who is God? God is the Lamb. He's the Lamb, he tender you, he pampers you. But to the maturing Christian is the lion. You begin to clip your wings. Stop this one, take it away. This one. Take it in. Then to the mature Christian, he's both the lion and the lamb. Praise the Lord. So they begin to change your language, begin to change your understanding, they begin to change your perspective about life. That's why if my son in my house now, what does he play with? If my little daughter now, she carries paper in the same house. If she enters, she carries paper, all the papers on the floor, King will be laughing at her. King enters the same house, he's going to carry, I came on Friday, he showed me that is in my Jeep. Congratulate me, I have two Jeep in my house. Just on Friday. They be love and they be king. They say that is in my Jeep. Yes. So like, go and bring your own Jeep. I have Jeep in my house. So then that is Jeep. So they say this is Jeep. So why they are laughing at my daughter that is playing with paper? They are laughing at him, at her. They are saying this is their Jeep. They are playing with the Jeep. Another person that is of a higher pedigree will enter. That's how God's house is. So you need to grow and mature. The things you handle with paper spiritually. Your level of understanding and mature determine the things you handle and the things that will be communicated to you. And that man will enter. He's going to handle different things. If my son, I have a bicycle for my son, that's what he rides. But if I enter the house, I ride the car.
So in a great man's house, there are so many things. But what you handle depends on your level of understanding and maturity. Jesus said, I have so many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them and you can't handle them. Let us grow up so that we can handle the weightier thing, the weightier matters of the law. They were arguing that we pay tithe of mint and cumin, wash this. You don't wash your hand, then you eat. When you don't wash your feet, when you enter the house, they say, you look at Jesus was looking at them. He said, you cannot yet handle the weightier matter of the law. You know, he said, what? He said, right? He said, kind judgment, just judgment and love. Praise the Lord. That's why God did not give that dispensation, that the law, the commandment of love, the law of love, because they don't have the capacity to handle it. He had to change them inside. He said, he created a new man. He said, I'll put a new spirit within you. And that's why the laws we have in the New Testament is different from the Old Testament, because they have no capacity to handle it. Even this hope. That's why I said God gave them laws, because they were children, they were babies. They were babies. God gave them laws that don't do this, don't do that, and all of those things. But in the New Testament, the Bible says God into a better hope. By that hope, you can draw near to God. Those men could not approach God. God landed on the mountain, they ran back. But in the New Testament now, praise the Lord, he said that, what did Hebrews 10 say? That by a new and living way, which has concentrated for us, he said, by the blood and his body, we are able to draw near. Let us draw near. He said, let us draw near with a good heart and with a full assurance of what? Of hope and of faith. Hebrews 10:19. Because in the New Testament, we can actually approach God. We can draw near because of that hope that we have. That's why I said, that I may know him. That I may know him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So like I told you, spiritually, what you handle differs. Even in God's house, the thing that will be communicated to you depends on your level of understanding. While some other person is playing with paper, you understand? He's playing with papers, another person is playing with toy cars, and that one is riding bicycle, and that one is riding car. But there are some that have trained and matured and said, they ride what? They ride jeep. They ride plane. Praise the Lord. Yeah, plane. If I should buy a plane and put it in my house, my son, can he ride it? Can he ride it? No. Praise the Lord. So this is how God orchestrated and designed the society to be. Now, I want to show you. So I said, famine is not new. Let me show you. Pharaoh, can you see all of them? So we are complaining of economic downturn and all of those things. They should say that outside, but not we in this place. I'm being sincere with you. But not we. Not we. Okay, look at Jacob. I told you Abraham. I told you Isaac. Why didn't God avert it? Why didn't God avert the famine? God will equip you for the storm that is coming, but he will not take away the storm. He will equip you. Look at Genesis 41, verse 27. And the seventh thing, and that when Pharaoh had a dream, he said, the seventh thing, and he favored kind that came up after them at 7 years, and the seventh empty year, blasted with the east wind, shall be 7 years of famine. How many years of famine? If we should experience 7 years of famine now, what are we going to do? A people that are largely basically unprepared. God does not only give spiritual law. If you look at the way God designed the society, he gave them spiritual law, he gave them moral laws, and he gave them economic laws. Economic law. So there were 7 years of famine. Okay? 7 years of famine. Then verse 56. That's in 41. He said, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. This one was the whole world. So you cannot even be looking for visa to go to America. Abi? Because you go there, you meet the same thing there. Or those of us that want to go to UK. And are scared now, in case Donald Trump should win. No, he's not scared of Trump. He can put anybody there, either Clinton or Trump. So he will just equip his people. I told you the church is kinetic and organic. It has survived several generations and several ages. If it continue to survive. So the kingdom is what? Suffer violence. Abi? He said, no, it has been forcefully advancing. By force. It has been forcefully advancing. And it will continue to advance. Praise the Lord. If we continue to move, so you equip yourself or will be a casualty by the way. These are the two options. But the kingdom is moving. You see, the path of the just is that it never stops shining. It's like a shining light that continues to shine brighter and brighter. 2016 it will be brighter. 2017 it will be brighter. 2018 it will be brighter. Praise the Lord. So it depends on where you want to sit. Where you want to sit position or you want to sit taken away on a bed. Now look at and the famine was over Genesis 14:56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses. In those 7 years of plenty, God told God wisdom. It was not part of the vision. When Joseph stood, a man that had worked with God, he knew what the nation needed to do. He said, Pharaoh, this is your deal, this is the meaning. He could turn back and go back. He could go back at that point. He said, no, why not build the storehouses for those 7 years of plenty? For those 7 years of plenty. So that it will sustain in the years of what? Of famine. Praise the Lord. 7 years of plenty. He said, there's no better man that can do it than yourself. Look at that wisdom to break the backbone of the famine that was coming. So even you as an individual, God will begin to stimulate your heart. God will begin to put vision and wisdom. God will begin to stir your heart to do some things. Sometimes it will be a little thought. But if you build on that thought, the Bible says the kingdom is like a seed. The mustard seed is like the smallest of all seed. It's like a thought that is so weak among every other thought in your heart. It's like the smallest of the seed. But when it is planted, it grows. It grows further and bigger than every other tree. I say, and the birds of the air, they came and lodged in the branches of it. You begin to be a canopy for mankind. You begin to be a canopy and a shade for so many people so that they can draw life and sustenance from you. It might be a simple thought, but once that thought is established, once you build that thought and continue to make and fan into flame, the gift of God that is in you, when you begin to fan it into flame, begin to act upon it, it becomes something that will begin to sustain you and become a soaker to serve every other person. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, verse 43. This story of this time I continue, but let me, he says, verse 1, he says, and the famine was sore in the land. Joseph, one righteous man, God raised that man and he said, what did he do now? He didn't have big victories. No, he came out of prison. But with the wisdom that God has put inside of him, he said, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is made unto us wisdom. Amen. We, in this house, if nobody has it, we have the wisdom to navigate the storm that is coming. I said, God, man, look at the flood in the days of Noah. Did God avert the flood? In the days of Noah, the flood that will destroy the world, did he avert it? God gave Noah wisdom to build an ark. It was something that was not seen in the face of the earth. It has never been seen before. God can begin to stimulate you to do things that man has not done, to build an enterprise, engage in an enterprise that nobody has ventured into that water and passed it before. But the man of faith will step in. This is what it takes to be victorious and to overcome in this place and in this time. He said, you know what Jesus told them in Luke chapter 21? He said, when you see that the nations are scattering, there is travel and turmoil all over the whole world, nations rising against nations, Boko Haram in the northeast, the Avengers in the Niger Delta, you know, the IPOB, you know, Biafra movement. And he said, when you see all of those things, you know, he said, lift up your head. He said, look up and lift up your head for your redemption done right now. Praise the Lord. At every time, God keep creating hope inside of the people. Praise the Lord. God kept creating hope inside of his people, because that is what you need to survive this time. He said, what? Hope, God, does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. It is hope that gives birth to faith. How many of you know that faith does not stand alone? The Bible says faith is a product of your hope. So if there is no hope inside of you, there is no faith. The measure of the hope that you have inside of you is the measure of the faith that is in you. Faith drives its nutrient, nourishment, strength from the hope that is inside of you. Praise the Lord. He said, now faith is the substance of what? Of what? Of things hoped for. What if there is no hope? If there is no hope, if there is no tangibility, what will happen when there is no faith? Faith is the substance of hope. The Bible says we look not at things that are what? Things that are seen. Amen. But we look at things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen, they are what? They are eternal. These are the things we are looking at. Praise the Lord. All the examples that were, all the things that we are saying, all the things that we are speaking about the things that are seen. We are speaking like the people of this world. He said, we look not at things that are not seen. Amen. We see, we are things that are not busy. That's why they say Christ came as an eyepiece of things to come. Things to come, things that will not be seen. But we can see because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. So God has really given us His Spirit that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's not be carried away by the Spirit of Africa. Africa, let me tell you something about Africa. 65% of the arable land, the agricultural land in the world. 65% of the arable land in the world, agricultural land in the world, is in Africa. And 35% is in the rest of the world. The rest of the world, they feed Africa. As of today, it was estimated that the food import, tomato import, fish import, rice import of Africa is $110 million. $110 million, and in the next 4 years, they say it will go to like $1 trillion. Because of urbanization and the growing of cities. This is the spirit of Africa. Don't allow that spirit to catch up with us. Africa, 65% of our land is arable. The people that have 35% of arable land, Things like Israel that they say within like 2 times in a year, and they are the ones feeding us in Africa. What an aberration. Praise the Lord. What still is your country, Nigeria? 70% of Nigerian land is arable. 70% of our land is arable. Amen. The CBN statistic today, Nigeria import beef for tin tomato is $400 million. $400 million import of tomato. How many of you have seen spoiled tomato in Kasha? Spoiling everywhere. Abi, before this time of scarcity, tin tomato import beef. That $400 million is up to $1 billion. That $400 million is the official figure. The ones that come from Cotonou, Niger, and Chad is not there. Nigeria closed our border recently to Chad. I saw it on the news on Friday that 50 Chad economy shrink by 50% because Nigeria closed our borders to Chad because of what? Smuggled stuff. So when Nigeria spend about $1 billion to import rice, that is not the figure. The figure will be like times 10 of that. $1 billion to import rice when all our land is arable. Praise the Lord. Then one politician will now stand up tomorrow. Now they will now divide us in the church. Me and for this person. Me and for this person. We start arguing. Amen. So the leader and the led are the same. I say the leader and the led. You can't try that in Europe. You can't try that. Those men are enlightened. Praise the Lord. You can't try that in Europe. Those men are enlightened. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please see all these spies there. You want to eat your just. Just keep stretching and go down. Amen. Go and check out with all those things they bring for us here to eat. And the rice they import into Nigeria, they are 10 years old. Are you aware? That yes. Nobody will bring his fresh one and give you. They gave out the old stock. What do you read online? The rice they import here that we eat, so as we are eating, we'll be paying on it. Some of them are 10 years old. Let me give you an example of Brazil. Brazil, as of the year 2000, they were dumping rice in Brazil. So they had a government that said, no, this cannot be. Brazil started the agricultural rice revolution. By 2009, they were importing rice all over, they were exporting rice all over the world. So if they are exporting the old stock, you know, you have this silo, you know, those food storage, you know, that you do. All those ones you store for like 5 years, you bring it out, push in the fresh one, and take those ones and take it to Africa. So opportunities are big, but you must make up that you want to see it. Praise God. You must make up your mind that you want to what? You must see there is something you can do. You are limited by your government. No, don't be thinking about your government. I want you to start thinking about God. He says he maketh a way where there is no way. Where you see that no road can come out of it, he can make a way. Let me give you one example. This is your pastor that is sitting here. Pastor Femi, you want to take him to order? I was very scared. I said, no, let them leave it. In Akure, how can you go and start up a branch in Ore? Where are you going to get money from? Ore is just a transit road. You cannot make profit in Ore. Today, my pastor is making profit. Through hard work and faith in God, believing in God. He kept believing, he kept praying. Say, I will not give up. There is nothing in Ore. He kept believing, I don't know how, but God did it. God did it. He broke even, and when the owner said, he could have said, I don't want to go, don't leave me here now. He will not be a branch manager. I don't know where he might be a manager. Praise the Lord. I said, even me too, because I was scared. I said, how can they take him there? He should stay. But I was labored in Africa, all this side, but he went there. Would they see you? Where there is what? Praise the Lord. There is no retreat. There is no surrender. Let's not speak talking like them. The Bible says, a man shall have joy by the answer of his mouth. It's what you say determines the joy that you have. Praise the Lord. He said, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. So these are not the time you now start speaking anyhow. And all of those things, let's look within, let's look inward. God is inside. The one that is said by his spirit, he banished the heaven. He said, if that spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit that vitalizes your mortal body. And when we come to the earth, we profit more than the unbeliever because of the one that is living inside of us. Praise the Lord. Can you rise up on your feet and begin to appreciate your Father? Begin to celebrate him for this hope that is inside of you. And you begin to appreciate him and bless him. What a great and what a mighty God you have. Opportunities. A new crop of millionaires are going to emerge in Nigeria. Oil is going, let it go, let it be gone. You pray sometimes when God answers your prayer, I don't even know. Yes. You know, I told us here before that the Arab world, God has broke that. What is their story? You know, they have oil. You know, there's Sharia in UK. They can give them Sharia in UK because they have money. Because we are an oil nation. Imagine there is no money in Saudi Arabia or all of these Arab nations. Think of all these women who answer them. They're like they are not in Africa. God will take away that oil. All of us will come to square one. And we'll begin to build and build from there. Yes. God has broken the strength of the Islamic nation is breaking. God is attacking them on every front. Their own theology is attacking them. ISIS. In Spain, if you go to a country like Spain now, you cannot preach in the mosque. You must submit your message first. Your sermon first. And even we in the church are not getting prepared. We are still singing stories. That time they hit up the uniform, let's all extend it to Christian. That time we'll start shouting. It is in the time of peace that you prepare for war. In the time of peace that you prepare for war. War. Begin to appreciate your father. Begin to tell him. I want you to start saying. There was famine in the days of David. As far as David was a grand after God's time. 3 years. The famine in the days of David lasted for 3 years. 3 years. David went and met God. And God said, this is the solution. This is the way out. There was famine in the days of Elijah. In the days of Elisha. So in your days there will be famine. That's what I came to tell you. After this one, there will be another one will come. I don't know when else to come. So the preparation of the heart is man. But the answer of the tongue, the answer is from heaven, is from God. Some of us, pastors, we are collecting salary. We are so comfortable with that salary. When God dried the source, we are running from her basketball. But in the days of plenty and in the days of abundance, we are not teaching. Our brain, our mind, everything shut down because of what we are seeing. I want to announce to your governors. Let me talk to you about your governors. Your governors are getting a lot every month. They are getting a lot from the Niger Delta. So that's it was okay. Yes. Your governors are getting a lot, oil a lot. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to work. Their lot has gone now. Let's see what happens. Their lot is going and it's going down further. In fact, I saw that they blew some oil installation again. Small time, we may not even be able to explore more than maybe 1 million or maybe less than 1 million. We kept getting a lot. Cocoa is here. On both states, cocoa. Cote d'Ivoire. Do you know the cocoa? The metric ton of cocoa that all of Nigeria export is only 200,000 metric ton. Ghana export 800,000. Ghana is like, I don't think it's all the two states in Nigeria. Ghana. Cote d'Ivoire export 1.5 million tons of cocoa. But when you get oil a lot, the brain does no longer work. We do roundabout. We do some roads and they flash it on TV and say that the state is working. You know, there are a lot of seas. Can you begin to appreciate your God and appreciate your father? Joseph opened the storehouse. When you're thinking about Nigeria or this state, I want you to start thinking about yourself. In the place of family, the way out is the storehouse. That's one of the way out. Another way out is God to give us wisdom and things to do. You know, he said the Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He said the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the king. You must believe these things and make a difference. Make a difference together, hand in hand, together with our God. No, I want to really appreciate him. He said, Babe, I want you to invest. Babe, I want you to do this thing. He literally touched me. The land that I built my house where I'm staying and is the tire, he literally put a rope on my neck. Men that have peace for men that can see. Babe, because you are so close to me. You know, because you are so close to me and all of those things, because of this and this, babe, I want you, you know. I'm living here, I think I'm not permitting. You know, if I want you to do this, I want to do this. I enter some of those things and I can look back now and say, yes. I thank God. I say, babe, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. The same thing for every one of us. Let me read Ecclesiastes 5, 9. Say, moreover, the Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. He said, the king himself is served by the few. You'll be served by the few. He said, the profit of the earth is for all.
It's for all. Let's think outside of the box. God is there to bless us. God is there to open doors and open, give us favor. Open doors and doors of opportunities for us. We want to appreciate Him and thank Him. Father, we give you praise and glory. Thank Him for this coming season. What we said at the beginning of this year, our testimony has not changed. This is the year of His presence. This is the year of His presence. This is the year of our God. This same time that everything is hard, I know that my elder that will be battling one car. We've been battling battling engine, battling what are we battling again? Tire. This same time and this same season, you got a visitation. Not just a visitation, a mighty word. A mighty visitation. My pastor. My pastor, Pastor Noah, this same season he got a visitation. Who told you that you cannot be visited? At least elder is not a pastor. If you say he's pastor. Who told you that you cannot be visited? One man was walking on the street of Ilori one day, and one man stopped and said, God said I should give you this money. Yes. But no, it's more money. That was in the 1999, 2000 then. So if I know how much is 350,000 at that time. He bought a place. That was the property price was running. I was there. I met the man. I knew the test. He was walking on the street of Ilori. So I go, God said I should give you this I should give you this money. Left for you to engage your heart, engage God, then it's left for God to do his own part. It's left for God to do his own part. I want us to begin to pray for this house, every one of us. Let this spirit baptize us. Let this spirit, let there be a baptism. I will have been in this town, Pastor Lucas, he called me then, he advised me. If I had hearkened to that advice, I would have been a very rich man by now. I won't go into details. Pastor Lucas, then, 2006. He said, David, he was talking to me like that. Don't go and be buying cars. Or all of those things that now, go and buy land, strategic places. Some places, some of my people bought land, 500,000. The land is going for like 7 million today. 2006, 7. If I had bought even 5 that time, I would have been boasting nothing else than 30 million in land or property. That time I went and bought a car of 1.5 million. You know, what was the end result of that car? You know, it's history. Praise the Lord, and some other things, I just started working, you know, so, praise the Lord. So, I want you to start praying, I want you to start talking to God, for yourself, for this house. Let there be a fresh baptism. Not just spirit, and all of those things. When God formed His own nation, He gave them spiritual law. He gave them economic law, economy. He gave them economic law. There is economic dispensation in God. Even in the New Testament, you see them. There is an economic arrangement. There was one man in the New Testament, Prophet Agabus. Agabus, prophet. Even that New Testament that they were obeying God, Peter was alive, Paul was alive, John was alive. There was one man. There was one man in the New Testament. If you ask of the apostle, you see. But God gave them wisdom how they overcame that season. You find in Acts chapter 11 verse 28. Acts chapter 11 verse 28. And there stood on one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. I'm not talking about battling the storm. Preparing for the storm. The same storm, the same flood that came, Noah was riding on it. The same famine that came in the days of Jacob. Joseph was riding on it. In Acts chapter 11, the same famine that came in Acts of the Apostles, they said, all that had everything had is in common. They entered into another apostolic dispensation. They rode on the wings of that famine. The way they responded, it launched them to another temple of the Spirit.